if you're scared of clowns, don't see the horror movie It. It's based on the US novelist Stephen King's 1986 1,000-page tome. And we're talking about it for our Book to Film segment with Alicia Sometimes and Thomas Caldwell, who come in from time to time to do exactly this. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we're in a small town in Maine called Derry. What's the setup for the book?
Well, the setup of the book is it's in two interlocking halves, the first of which is set in the 50s, and it centres on a gang of outcast kids on the verge of adolescence. It's also then interlocking with the 80s as well. Something is terrorising the town and killing the children, and during a heavy rainstorm in Derry, Maine, a six-year-old called Georgie is chasing a paper boat down a drainway. And or gutter, and it's washed down, and he comes unexpectedly into this character called Pennywise. The boat's made by his older brother Bill, and the film and the book feature on the Losers Club, which is Bill, Bev, Richie, Ben, Mike, Stan, and Eddie.
So Pennywise is the scary clown.
Scary clown
who lives in the sewers.
Yes. And there's a dreamlike fog of amnesia that envelopes the town of Derry, Maine. And
you say that as if this is an everyday thing. There's this dreamlike fog of
that's
amnesia.
That's right. That's right.
But that's the sort of world we're in.
It's a town where this creature who manifests as various things, but most frequently as a scary clown, has turns up every 27 years to sort of feed on the town. And, yeah, children are his choice. Delicacy. And like Alicia said, the book alternates between two time periods. The first time period we have their characters as 11-year-old children, and the second time period is when they're adults, where this new film adaptation just focuses on the story of them as children.
So in the book, I didn't realise that because I've seen the film but not read the book. So the book comes out in 1986. So if it's tic-tacking between their adult selves and their childhood selves, that means you know who's going to survive the clown.
Very interesting point. And I actually saw the film without having read the novel and really enjoyed the fact that I had no idea what the fate of these seven main characters was going to be. Where in the novel, you're introduced to the adult characters very early on. So the novel weirdly spoils itself throughout. And not even just in this regard, the novel is constantly introducing characters and then telling you that in 2 weeks' time they're going to wind up dead or telling you their fate as it goes. It's a very unusual approach to a sort of suspense narrative where it tells you quite up front what's going to happen.
That is one of Stephen King's main things that he does. He will start off a chapter that says, in 2 weeks, Michael Cathcart will be dead. And
thanks for using me as Exhibit A. Right. That was good.
And so what he does is his suspense lays in how, almost Columbo-like, is how are they going to find out. And it's just one of those things where the suspense it is quite thrilling, but I had a lot of problems with the book and the film.
Well, let's talk about the book. I mean, can we just let's make sure that we've got this clear. The kids go down into the sewer in the movie, so this must be what happens in the book too, I guess.
Yes, eventually, yes.
Okay,
yes.
And they are a genuine risk because there is this scary clown down there who is killing kids. And in the movie, the clown is screaming metaphor. You know, the clown stands for something. He is an embodiment of fear and child abuse and all the sort of weird stuff that's going on in these kids' lives in everyday Maine has somehow reified, has been personified in this clown.
And this is a big theme in the novel as well. And it's a very common horror trope, if you like, the idea that the threat is a manifestation of evils within the actual community. So the kids, and I like, this is an aspect of the film I did like, the adult world in the film is terrible. Parents are overbearing, they're outright abusive, there are also homicidal bullies throughout.
Absent.
All the parents are absent. the adult world is a cruel, indifferent, often predatory world for these children. And this is even further enhanced in the novel, the idea that the community itself is pretty sick to the core. And the novel also introduces themes of homophobia and racism as well as the abuse. So the horror element is kind of a manifestation of that. There's always the danger of reading it a bit too literally and excusing all that behaviour on the presence of the supernatural thing. But I think it works better when we can say it's symbolic. And the interesting thing about Stephen King's career is he kind of introduced this idea of the horror coming from the community. I mean, when horror was thriving, say, in Hollywood in the 1950s, it was all about the threat from the outside, whether it was aliens or foreign figures like The Mummy and Dracula, where Stephen King in novels like Carrie and The Shining introduced the idea that the real menace comes from within. It's not stranger danger, it's harm within your own home.
Well, that's an interesting political shift, because the threat from outside was always at some level a metaphor for the Soviet Union and communism.
But if big time in the 50s, yeah.
Yeah, if the thing that's going to destroy us is something in the rotten heart of America, that's a very subversive message to have.
This is very Lovecraftian as well. The only thing that it sort of extends upon that is with Lovecraft, a lot of it is within ourselves, is the horror, and the danger comes from within.
Lovecraft is a horror writer.
Yeah, a horror writer. A lot of his characters are masked, and if you take off the mask, there's something else quite evil underneath. And this town has been described as hiding American power of sublimation. So it is this evil that lurks within the town, and these characters are kids and they're innocent. And that's what Stephen King is really good at, is showing that innocence often wins.
Now, I know, Alicia, that you're a buff, you're a Stephen King buff, but I cut you off a moment ago when you said you had problems with the book. So can you unpack those?
Yeah. I loved reading him as a teenager, and I read this as a teenager. And my problem with a lot of Stephen King's books is that as a young female, I only saw the female characters in Stephen King's books as characters that were rude for their sexuality, or they were minor characters, they were always two-dimensional. I know he tries to write about feminism or tries to write about racism, but it always comes off as is the one token girl, the one token black person.
And yet you read all the books.
I read all the books, but I did stop with it. This was the book that stopped me.
Oh.
Because he writes characters well, he writes the town well, he is a page turner, but when you get to it, I feel like I've eaten 20 Mars bars, I feel sick, I feel like there's not much substance in this. And I'm not saying don't go back and read his other work, there's lots to love about his other work, but this one I found horrible.
I think that's all completely reasonable, in fact, what you said. I haven't read nearly as much Stephen King as you. I've always enjoyed the film adaptations more, but I agree, this was a real page-turner. I really enjoyed reading it. I mean, the kind of meandering divergence, it's not quite as bad as Tolkien, but it's on that level of, now let's have a backstory about this thing, can be infuriating, but
it's 1,000 pages. That's a lot of pages to turn.
1,400.
And there's 1,000 plus. It does go off on all sorts of tangents, and sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's tedious. But look, everything Alicia said was in the back of my mind as well. You feel like he's trying to explore themes of the nature of domestic violence and male violence. And when he writes from the point of view of some of the perpetrators of male violence, it's quite chilling and I think quite perceptive. But I don't think he gets the women right at all. That they're not in the, that there's not many female characters. They're all subjected to violence, and there's long
and
sexual violence. He's obsessed with describing breasts. He's one of these writers where it just seems to be a detail. He has to include way more than is necessary, to the point where it almost became comical for me. Like if I was a heavy drinker, I'd probably take a shot every time he mentioned breasts as a game, and I'd end up very drunk and probably in hospital. But yeah, I think the intent is there. He just doesn't quite get it right. And there's some sexual stuff with the children in the novel that defies comprehension. Like I could not believe some of the places the novel goes to, which thank God doesn't make it into the film.
Alicia Sumtimes and Thomas Caldwell are with me, and we're talking about the movie adaptation of Stephen King's book, It. So let's talk about the film. So I don't really like horror films, to be honest with you. So I went along a bit apprehensive, but I wasn't scared at all. There was a man behind me who kept going, oh, no, oh, oh, gosh, oh.
You're not the first one to comment on this. And I have to admit, I agree. I enjoyed this. Once I gave up on the idea of this being a horror film, a scary film, I think the first scene is the most intense, distressing scene. After that, it's more of a kind of fantasy adventure film, more in the vein of things like Stand By Me, and which was also based on the King story, see, and the Goonies.
I thought the scary music, you know, the sort of music that always sounds like a guillotine going, zoom, I just thought it was sort of corny.
Yeah, a lot of kids say about the jump scares were missing, you know, but there's something I want to read that Stephen King wrote about his writing, which applies to the film and the movie. He says, nothing is so frightening as what's behind the closed door. The audience holds its breath along with the protagonist as he or she approaches the door. The protagonist throws it open and there is a 10-foot-tall bug. The audience screams, but this particular scream has an oddly relieved sound to it. A bug that's 10 feet tall is horrible, the audience thinks, but I can deal with a 10-foot bug. What I was afraid of was a 100-foot bug. Now, this really applies to his novel and why I hated it, is that you, at every stage, and we're not giving away the ending, you kind of get the 10-foot bug and you go, is that all there is? And I don't know if it comes across as a film, because obviously the film is going to be split into two. We're going to have further down the track another film about them as adults.
They've announced it, 2019, we're going to get the sequel.
That's right. And I just feel wanting in the film. Like you, Michael, I wasn't scared and I don't normally like horror, but yes, the clown was menacing. He was much more menacing than Tim Curry's clown in the 90s.
The clown is fabulous. And the acting of the kids is fabulous. And
absolutely,
the imagery is fabulous. I mean, there is an image. I mean, we can say this. There's an image in the sewer when they finally find the clown's lair and there are the lost children floating in the air. Mm. And that's an astonishing, unforgettable image, isn't it?
Which is all introduced in the film as well. This was added on. This wasn't in the novel. I actually think the way they wound up the kid's story in the film is possibly more interesting than how they wound it up
in
the novel.
So.
In the end, I couldn't get past the tokenism of the roles of the children. You know, there's a black kid in it who just does nothing. He's just there to be a black kid in the movie.
Well, it makes the classic thing of every character is defined by having a particular characteristic, and it's really tricky when the normal character, the so-called inverted commas normal, is a white male, and then you define characters as how they differ
against
from that.
That's
so there's a Jewish kid, a fat kid, a black kid, a girl, and these are all these should not be defining characteristics. I think the film fleshes out a bit more why these characters are diverse. The novel fleshes out a bit more why these characters are diverse in the way they are, but in the film, it does reek of tokenism.
Book or film, Thomas?
I really enjoyed both with massive reservations. I would recommend, if you're new to this, seeing the film first and then reading the book.
Alicia?
Read any other Stephen King book.
I'll start somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you read Carrie? That's a good one.
Yeah, there's so many good ones. Mm.
Thanks, guys. Always good. Thomas Caldwell and Alicia Sometimes, taking us on the journey from book to film. So we've been talking about the movie based on Stephen King's novel, It. There you are. You'll have to make up your own decision whether to go and see that one or not.